from Illinois Public Media. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we are getting deep into the 2026 election cycle. In less than 2 months, early voting starts for the March primary. By and large, those races will decide who's competing in the general election in the fall. But as is usually the case, there are some races where the primary will basically decide who wins the office. And in a few contests, not even the primary has competition. Here to talk through the latest in campaigns, from the race for the governorship to elections for House and Senate seats, is Brendan Moore. He was a longtime political reporter for Lee newspapers, including in Bloomington Normal and Decatur. But since October, he's been a State House reporter for Capital News Illinois, the co-op that serves newspapers across the 21st state. Brendan, congratulations on the new role and welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be with you.
Listeners, if you have questions about what's happening in electoral politics, we're only on this topic for the first part of our show today, so don't wait. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Brendan, let's start with the race for United States Senate, sort of once-in-a-generation opportunity for a political advancement, as some see it. And U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy is seemingly been the front runner on the Democratic side, but he's had a couple of stories related to his fundraising this week. What's happening there?
Yeah, Brian, as you mentioned, I mean, this is a generational opportunity to advance with Senator Dick Durbin's retirement. Has not been as competitive as I think a lot of people thought it might be. Raja Krishnamoorthy really has made himself the front runner. He has the most money and has kind of taken out a lead against Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and Congresswoman Robin Kelly. But as you said, there have been a few stories coming out about that fundraising this week. I think perhaps the most controversial story is one about a donor to his campaign that has given about $90,000 that happens to be a contractor with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That's not exactly the headline you want when you're running in a Democratic primary. The congressman
company is Palantir, right? Which is one of Peter Thiel's sort of panopticon data sniffing companies.
Yes. And the campaign was quickly in damage control. Yesterday, they announced that they would be donating basically that sum of money to causes related to immigration. So we're starting to see maybe a kind of a sleepy race maybe start to heat up a little bit. He also got in trouble for sending out a campaign fundraising email with, I believe it was Congressman Ted Lieu of California's name on it, even though Congressman Lieu has not endorsed Krishnamoorthy's campaign. That's happened. That happens sometimes with some of these Act Blue, you know, small dollar fundraising pitches that candidates do. And then there was another story about some of the donors that that he shares in common with President Trump and Republicans. It's a very small number on the whole. Again, you know, Congressman Krishnamoorthy has raised, I mean, north of $20 million, I believe, when you count it all up. Still not a headline you want to have when you're running for Senate in a Democratic primary, Democratic state. But at the same time, like I said, he has such a lead in terms of fundraising that he has basically been able to be on television nonstop since July. He's spending $500,000 on ads a week. And Stratton and Kelly just have not been able to counteract that. They just don't have the money in the bank. So I think that, you know, yes, he's had a few bad headlines this week. It's probably been the worst week of his campaign from, you know, just from a narrative perspective. But if Stratton or Kelly or their allies, you know, don't get on television, don't start, reinforcing some of that bad earned media for Krishnamoorthy with their own paid media, I think it, you know, he could probably turn the page pretty quickly on it.
Well, maybe this is a good time to mention that we have interviewed both Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and Congresswoman Robin Kelly of the South Suburbs of Chicago, all the way down to Danville, on the program, and had two interviews scheduled with Krishnamurti, but his team has kept postponing. We are still hoping for a date. So, Congressman, give us a call. What is the state of the Senate primaries more broadly?
The state of the Senate primaries?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, what are the candidates doing? I mean, so you mentioned that Stratton and Kelly are, not on TV yet. I mean, are we getting into the point? Are there going to be debates? Do we have, an understanding of, how this race is shaking out? Are the candidates sort of jockeying on certain issue positions? Or is this still, we're just waiting and watching TV ads at this point because it's too early to say?
Yeah, a lot of watching TV ads. I mean, there have been some forums that the major candidates have been to, along with some of the minor candidates. I mean, there are probably there are over a dozen candidates that have actually filed to run. But it really has kind of been a three-person race on the Democratic side, with, Congressman Krishnamurthy clearly the front runner. And again, it's kind of been a sleepy race so far. There has not been a lot of daylight in terms of the issues between the candidates. I mean, if you look at, you parse through, split some hairs, you could say that, Krishnamurthy's probably a tad more moderate than Stratton and Kelly are. He doesn't support Medicare for All, for instance. But a lot of it is, there's been a lot of focus on all the candidates are trying to focus on their personal stories as a kind of a differentiator. Krishnamurthy's kind of tried to portray himself in the mold of Senator Durbin of, was born downstate, raised downstate, represent the suburbs. I'm going to represent the whole state. I'm going to bring the bacon home. Then Stratton obviously is a statewide official, has never been elected to federal office, has said, we can't use the same playbook. We need to send new people to Washington, kind of playing that outsider role. And then Kelly said, well, I've been in Washington for a decade, but I actually know how to get stuff done. I can work with Republicans and Democrats, and get things done. Like she mentioned, some of her work on gun control, for instance. So I think they're all trying to kind of weave in their personal stories and their backgrounds, in lieu of actual major policy differences, because again, if you look at it, very closely, you'll probably find a few differences, but it's not like we have Bernie Sanders, AOC progressive in the race against maybe a more moderate establishment pick. I mean, they're all pretty close on policy. So again, kind of a three-person race, but Krishnamurthy is the clear front runner. And I think another factor we have to look at, Brian, too, is does Governor J.B. Pritzker get more involved in this race? So he has endorsed Juliana Stratton. A lot of, she has a lot of institutional backing in the state because of that, but it has not translated into a lot of fundraising or financial support. There has been speculation that he would come in and help support her with a super PAC where, that can take unlimited contributions. So far that has not come to fruition. And, it's getting late. As you mentioned, I mean, early voting starts the first week of February. So that's just, six, 8 weeks away. It's coming up pretty quick. So,
His millions don't do any good in the face of direct sort of campaign finance limits at the federal level. So,
or exactly.
Billions. All right. Let me remind listeners, it's the 21st show. We're catching up on campaigns as politicians are gearing up for the March primaries, as Brendan just noted, 2 months away from early voting starting. We're talking with Brendan Moore, State House reporter with Capital News Illinois. A lot to cover in the next few minutes here, so let's move to the governor's race. The action, no offense to the other Democrats seeking to challenge two-time incumbent J.B. Pritzker, but most of the action seems to be on the Republican side, where Darren Bailey is making another run. Even though he lost in 2022 and lost to Mike Bost in a congressional primary last year, he's trying again for governor despite some personal tragedy. What happened there?
Yeah, just the worst thing imaginable. If you're a parent, he lost his son, his daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren in a helicopter crash in Montana back in October. And so he was off the campaign trail for quite a lot after that. And there was even a debate of whether he would continue with his campaign. But after a few weeks, some encouragement from President Trump, he decided to move forward with his campaign. And he's going to go for it again. You know, he's easily the most well-known candidate in the race. He has the name recognition from his statewide run 4 years ago. You know, he is, you know, in you know, he decided basically late summer, you know, he was kind of decided late to run. He didn't, you know, was not originally going to run again, but I think he kind of saw the how the field was shaping up and was like, you know, I can probably win this primary, even though he doesn't have a lot of money in the bank, you know, but he has that name recognition. And so he starts a front runner. I mean, the other major candidates in this race are DuPage County Sheriff James Mendrick, Ted Dabrowski, who is, you know, he was the founder of a conservative think tank known as Wire Points.
A blogger, right? Essentially a journalist. I mean, you know, in a way.
Like, yeah, basically, yeah. Kind of a wonkier guy, you know, a lot of policy oriented stuff on his on that website, you know, kind of from the conservative lens. And he has attracted some high dollar donors, you know, some people that backed Bailey last time, including Richard Uihlein, a big conservative mega donor. So there is some thought that, you know, perhaps some people in the party that, you know, were with Bailey last time maybe don't want a repeat of Darren Bailey, seeing how he lost pretty substantially in 2022 to Governor Pritzker. But he's not the only one in the race. A wild card is Rick Heidner, who is kind of a video gaming and real estate tycoon from the Chicago suburbs. Got in very late, decided in October to give it a go. Got enough petitions to get on the ballot, and you know, but we haven't heard from him since. Hasn't really launched a campaign. So I'll be curious to see in the next few weeks, you know, kind of how that rollout goes. But, yeah, I mean, it, you know, I think 7 candidates total on the Republican side, running for governor, but really those are the four that are probably going to get the most attention, as this race develops over the next few weeks.
All right, just a few minutes left. I do want to touch on a congressional race, and that's in the 9th District, Northern Chicago, the North Shore. By the looks of it, 21 candidates have filed to run in the primaries, Democratic and Republican, 17 on the Democratic side. They're seeking to replace Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, who's retiring after 14 terms. Who is standing out in that crowded field?
Yeah, I mean it is a crazy field with a crazy number of candidates and a lot of well qualified candidates. I mean, you have, you know, members of the state legislature, you know various Cook County offices, a prominent social media influencer. A couple of the names I would focus on though are Evanston Mayor Daniel Biss, who ran for governor in 2018, came in third in the primary. He was previously a state senator and a state representative. He is a kind of a favorite of liberals, of progressives, is kind of in that, I don't want to say that Bernie Sanders mold, but definitely on to the left end of the spectrum. And a candidate that kind of came out of nowhere is social media influencer Kat Abghazaleh, who is, you know, gained kind of recognition on TikTok and on other platforms for debunking, watching Fox News and supposedly debunking, you know, misinformation that was said on that channel. And she had basically leveraged that national following she has and has raised a lot of money and is actually, you know, by most accounts, polling, you know, top two or top three, along with Mayor Biss. Another name I would also mention is State Senator Laura Fine, who is maybe taking more of a moderate tack. She has gotten some support from folks associated with AIPAC, which is the PAC that supports the U.S. relationship with Israel. Some of the other candidates are a little bit more to the left on that issue, especially on the issue of the war in Gaza. But there are so many other candidates. Again, State Senator Mike Simmons, State Rep Han Wen. There are some wealthier folks. This is a well-educated, wealthy district on Chicago's North Shore. We're talking about Senator Durbin earlier. I mean, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky has also been in office for several decades. So you have a lot of pent up, I guess, desire for people to move up. And we're seeing that in this kind of a clown car of a primary, a 17-way Democratic primary, where again it's a very liberal district, so the
Yeah, it's one of
primary
those
is
like
going to
pretty
be
safe seats if you can get it, right? If you can
pretty safe
win the
seat.
primary, yeah.
Don't expect a Republican to be all that competitive in November.
No. All right. Well, what's also amazing to me is that you have the possibility someone could win this with just 10 or 15% of the vote, depending on how divided the ultimate results are. Well, we will be following it. I know Brendan Moore will be following it as well. You can read his coverage at Capital News Illinois. Brendan, thanks for taking the time.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.